Good Thursday. Today is October the 2nd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, with all the stress that is surrounding agriculture, especially with the cost structure of production agriculture and a lack of trade, we're going to talk today about farmer mental health and ways to help prevent suicide. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Thursday morning and talk a little bit about farm mental health. Not something anybody really likes to talk about, but something we all know is very real, especially as we see the tighter margins that we have, the challenging yields with low prices, and not a lot of optimism looking to the future as input prices continue to rise. Now, being stressed or depressed is one thing, but when it gets to the point that someone is considering suicide, that's when it really needs to start setting off those warning signs to us. And the first step in preventing suicide, they say, is to recognize what those warning signs are that someone is struggling. That, according to Becky Wiseman, she's a clinical social worker and family consultant at Cornell University's New York FarmNet program. The Rural Minds webinar they had on rural suicide awareness and prevention training says that suicide warning signs are typically displayed in three ways: through people's talk, their behavior, and their mood. Now, examples of things people might say if they're considering suicide are like they're feeling trapped, they have no reason to live, they feel like they're a burden to others, and they're in unbearable pain, or they're thinking about ending their life. Now, behavioral warning signs may include an increased use of alcohol or drugs, sleeping too little or too much, attacking recklessly, withdrawing from activities they normally participate in, isolating from family and friends, looking for a way to kill themselves, or giving away possessions. Moods that may be warning signs could include depression, apathy, rage, irritability, impulsiveness, and anxiety. Now, we all have our ups or downs in moods, but if you notice something that's changed and it's uncharacteristic or concerning, it's really important that you speak to that person about what's happening and what you're noticing. And then trust your gut. Our gut often tells us what we really need to do in these situations. She says if you're on the fence about whether to reach out to someone, they stress you should always assume that you're the only one who's going to do it. In too many instances, people talk about their concerns for someone amongst themselves, but they hesitate to actually reach out to that person directly. Now, often the hardest thing to do, though, is ask people if they're considering suicide. A common fear that many have is that if you ask someone whether they're considering it, it could be putting that thought in the person's head to make them more likely to follow through. Well, the experts say that fear is unfounded. They recommend that if you suspect someone might be suicidal, talk to the person privately, listen to their story, express concerns and caring, and ask directly. Don't be afraid to ask, are you thinking of ending your life or are you thinking about suicide, they say. And don't worry about saying the wrong thing when talking to someone about suicide. Other experts also agree the fact that you are questioning is more important than how it's worded. However, they do caution against minimizing a person's feelings or offering judgment. Avoid a question such as, you aren't considering suicide, are you? Which may come across as judgmental. And then the best thing to do is listen without trying to offer solutions to the issues that may have led to that person considering it in the first place. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to pick up where we left off, talking about farmers' mental health and concerns over reducing suicide. Now, if you suspect someone has a plan to end their life, especially if it comes up in a conversation, do not leave that person alone, they say. Stay with the person and help them connect with professionals if you can. If the person is in immediate danger of harming themselves, obviously call 911. If the danger is less immediate, then urge that person to call 988. That's the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, or offer to call it for them. Experts also recommend offering to take the person to someone who can help. That may be a mental health professional, a clergy member, someone that person will trust. And if the person does not have an immediate plan in their life and can't get into a mental health professional right away, the next best thing to do is to commit from the person to accept help and then make arrangements to get that help as soon as possible. Then make sure you follow up with the person soon afterwards to make sure they are following through with those promises. Now, I will add here that Sarah at OSU Extension here in Paulding County has specific training on this and can help provide direction. She can be reached at 419-399-8225. Also, if you go to their website at paulding.osu.edu, there's a great list of resources there. You can click on the tab, Resources on Managing Farm Stress, with a lot of helpful information as well. Now, getting back to dealing directly with someone who may be in crisis, another potentially life-saving action people can take is to reduce a suicidal person's access to lethal means, that being firearms or medications, that all according to mental health professionals. Most suicide attempts involve medications, they say. However, 55% of all suicide deaths in the United States do involve firearms, and because the thought of suicide is often spontaneous and brief, putting some time and distance between someone who is suicidal and that person's access to lethal means can sometimes allow those suicidal thoughts to pass. Now, another thought for during the conversation is suggesting that they focus on the person's safety and the safety of that person's family, do that without being judgmental, and making the person a collaborative partner, asking the questions such as, what do you think we can do to help make you safer, or can we think about the steps you can take to keep safe until things do get better? Now, stepping back and looking at taking away any lethal means they have, if a suicidal person does have access to firearms, the best option is to collaborate with that person on a temporary off-site storage, such as at the friend or relative's place, a gun range, a safe storage facility. The next best option is in-home storage, where the firearms are locked and unloaded and stored in a safe or lockbox. Another option could be to add trigger or cable locks to the firearm for added time to gain access to them, or the keys are combination to a locking device could be given to a trusted person. Other options could be to remove an essential component of the firearm to make it inoperable, including photos of loved ones or a magnet for 988 in the box with the stored firearms, or freeze the keys in a safe or lockbox. Some have even suggested putting them in a block of ice so it takes longer to get access to them. But if a suicidal person has access to medications, some of the training recommends working with that person to limit the amount of medications available to only what they would need immediately. Some options could include, again, safely depositing any out-of-date, unused, or excess medications and over-the-counter remedies, using a lockbox to secure any lethal and additive medications, and asking a pharmacist or the poison center to help determine what safe levels of those medications may be. And again, if you have questions or could use some insights in this realm, contact Sarah Nagel at the Extension Office, 419-399-8225. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.